Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. I was speaking with the guests backstage, and I already know it's going to be exciting. We're going to make two new friends, and we have two returning guests. So this show is going to be hot. And I'm going to tell you what I always tell you, even though I haven't told my guests. There are two shows you don't want to be on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. Fridays, I haven't had enough sleep. So only the good Lord knows what I'm about to say. So you definitely want to go out today and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show, because there's someone in your network, in your neighborhood, maybe your spouse, someone in your house. I don't know. Maybe it's a coworker, but there's someone who needs this information. They need to learn about business, how to be successful, how to improve their lives. And they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So while you're sharing the show, while you're texting, while you're tweeting, while you're getting the message out there, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. This gentleman is always a pleasure to have on the show. We laugh, we learn, but he's also a game changer, Dr. Shadi. Dr. Shadi's owner of Vet Triage, the only vet telemed of its kind, spearheading a movement in veterinary telehealth. He has worked in every facet of the vet field for over 15 years, but I'm pretty sure he's having the most fun now. Good morning, Dr. Shadi. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Every time you're here, we love it. You went and changed a whole industry, and not that many people can do that. So for those people who may not have heard about you and what you're doing, please let them know who you are, what you're doing, and what you're passionate about.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I graduated from Cornell University in 06. So I've been a veterinarian for over 15 years, as you'd mentioned. I'm a board certified veterinary surgeon. And at the end of 2019, I launched the very first of its kind veterinary telemedicine company, Vet Triage. At this point, we have treated 22 different animals, and we are global. We get calls from all over the US, Canada. We've gotten calls from Haiti, Germany, the Middle East, Australia. We are truly spearheading a movement. And so my ultimate goal here is twofold. One is, of course, to create a successful company that will help countless pet parents and animals across the world. And the second is to improve the veterinary culture, get us up to speed where the human side has been for the past two decades or more with veterinary telemedicine.
Okay, so for those people who may not be absolutely crystal clear on what telemedicine is for pets, would you please give them an idea?
Absolutely. Telemedicine in general is a term utilized to describe a video interface where a patient, or in my case, a pet parent and their pet, will discuss medical, the medical nature of the patient with a doctor at another distance. And so ever since the pandemic, telemedicine has become a hot topic. Everybody knows that word now. It's a household word. Whereas prior to the pandemic, nobody really talked about it, although it did exist since the 80s. So telemedicine has been around for a while. The veterinary community has been very slow to adopt this mode of health. And so now we've taken that and brought it to a level that's never been seen before. As of yet, I'm the most experienced televeterinarian in the history of veterinary medicine. I've exceeded 5,000 cases, treated the most number of different animal types with it. And like I said, we're global. So it's been an absolutely exciting ride, but that's what telemedicine is. The ability to talk to a physician, a doctor, a caretaker through video interface. In my personal opinion, be live in real time, video, audio.
So Dr. Shadi, one of the things I've been told is over this global pandemic, over the last year, the rate of pet adoptions has just increased. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a need for more of your services during this time frame as well with all these new pets? People have no idea what to do if something goes wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, just to give you some background, there are millions of animals that are euthanized every year because of overpopulation and lack of medical care. The pandemic definitely created a boom in adoptions. And so what that's caused is that veterinary clinics can't fit pets in for weeks, if not months, You can't find a vet. And if you go to an emergency clinic, the wait times are 6 to 8 hours plus. And in some states, they were turning away critical patients from their ICU. So there's clearly a imbalance between the number of animals that are being cared for and the access to veterinary care. What telemedicine allows is to take a certain demographic of folks who have pet medical issues and try to steer them away from the brick and mortar, not in a competition mindset, but to allow the brick and mortar facilities, the regular hospitals, to take care of those things they could take care of with their hands, and allow telemedicine doctors to help pet parents virtually from a distance. So it's just a different tool that can be used for pet parents and for doctors to try and help the animals that are in great need of medical attention.
I love it. Maybe it's something that can be franchised. I don't know, but we're going to have the king of franchises up next, Mr. Tom Scarta. Tom is a certified franchise expert, CFE. He was the number one franchisee of the year with his first franchise concept and failed miserably in his second franchise. The lessons learned from failures is what makes him such an expert. Tom is the author of several books, including the number one bestseller, Franchise Savvy. He has helped more than 1,500 people figure out if franchising is for them since 2005. Welcome back. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for having me back.
I love when you was here the last time as well. You gave great tips and great comments to everyone else. And I started to look at life and business more from a franchise perspective. I'm like, Tom, we'd be like, we can franchise this. What did you think about what Dr. Shadi was saying?
I love the idea. And I have to say it's cutting edge and it's personal to my heart. It's because I have a podcast called The Franchise Academy. And I give a lot of exposure to franchise companies and franchise service businesses. And I don't ask for a fee or something to be on, but I do request that people make a donation to a charity. And two of the four charities, one is the Humane Society and the other is North Shore Animal League, which is a no-kill shelter on Long Island where I used to live.
Interesting. Yeah. So tell us about you, Tom. What's going on with you since the last time we spoke?
Well, it's been busy as all heck, and I am excited about it to just be able to help people figure out what their next steps are. Typically, you know, people have always called me because they were frustrated with their career or they wanted to just make a change, frustrated. But people are calling me now and saying, hey, I've been home for like a year working from home and I got a taste of freedom and I don't want to go back. I don't want to go to the commute and sitting in the cubicle all day. And so can you help me make that change? And that's what I do, is help people transition from signing the back of the check to signing the front of a paycheck.
I like that. Okay, we may have to franchise the roundtable talk show. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm pretty sure Tom can figure it out.
We can definitely figure that out.
What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about, Tom?
There's business passion, there's personal passion. So in business, I'm passionate about helping people get out of their comfort zone. Because I always, you know, I share with folks as they go through the process of learning about franchising, and I have a whole platform that teaches everything. I just actually dropped a course, which is a masterclass online, 45 videos on how to choose a franchise, A to Z, everything that you need to know. And at the end, the choice is not franchise A or franchise B, but your choice is the choice between uncertainty or unhappiness. Most people choose unhappiness and they stick with, you know, the stupid boss and the commute and, you know, having to travel around the world for their boss and not for their own pleasure. So I help people kind of get out of that rat race and do something for themselves.
Do you feel that business owners tend to fight the idea of franchise?
Well, it's interesting. So there's a big difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner. So an entrepreneur is someone that has an idea and they fight for it, like kind of what you're doing with this show. You know, you God closed one door, you opened up a window and maybe several windows now. So you have a platform. And so you could make that kind of change. Other people want to make the change and just own a business, mm-hmm. but they don't have the idea. And so a franchise is a business with training wheels. So you don't need to have the business idea. You just want to have the experience of owning the business, and they have the kind of the blueprint, and you plug into the blueprint and expand it in your part of the world.
Interesting. I don't know. Maybe we need to speak to someone about innovation. Tom, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Dr. Michelle Knights. Dr. Michelle is an innovative thought leader, professor, strategist, transformational, and peak performance coach, author, and international speaker. Her work has impacted individuals and communities around the world. She has a PhD in human development and family studies and has served as faculty at University of Prince Edward Island, Canada, Messiah College, and Penn State University. Good morning, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you. I'm terrific. Delighted to be here.
Well, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. I am originally from Trinidad and Tobago. So if you hear an accent, that's why.
I like it. I love accents.
Good. I've lived most of my life here in the U.S. So I have two homes. I have left the world of academe. It was a great place to be. And as you've stated, I've been able to touch lives around the world. But I wanted to do something even bigger than that. I wanted to have impact in people's lives without borders. Mm-hmm. So I left the boundaries of an institution of academe, and now I'm in the entrepreneurial space. Really using the same skill sets of understanding human development, of family-focused work to impact the lives of men and women. For men, we have an herbal product. It's got 21 herbs in it, and it helps increase overall blood flow, vitality, energy, strength, and libido. Now, when I speak of the benefits, usually all men here or people in general is the libido part, right? And I get it. I understand. But it really is about overall health and wellness. And I usually tell people it's overall health and wellness with a performance benefit. This is something that our CEO has manufactured and formulated himself. So we are hands-on with every aspect of this, and it's because it's embedded in a fundamental principle from which everything we do emerges. And so that's the 10 life values. And so then with the woman aspect, I've been building a platform, focusing on mothers and increasing your feminine energy and those kinds of things.
What's the name of the company?
So A-Game Herbal is the company for the male product. And then for women, it's the courage to continue.
I like that, the courage to continue. And you got to be on your A game, because nobody wants your C game when they're dealing with you.
So, absolutely.
What made you decide to become an entrepreneur? What made you decide to go into products?
Well, I've always had a foundation for entrepreneurship. So in this tiny little third world country of Tobago, I lived and grew with my grandmother. So early formative years, being influenced by my grandmother, and her husband passed away and she had 12 children to raise. Oh, wow. She was very innovative. And one of the early memories of entrepreneurship was she was able to find a deep freezer. And at the time, not many people had one of those. But again, she was very focused on creative ways to support her family. And then, so she got these empty ice cream buckets. You know, it's a hot tropical place. Ice cream's popular, all these empty plastic containers. And she decided to fill them with water, make ice, and sell the ice. And that became such a big business. And I was right at the center of it. I really enjoyed doing the transactions and getting people's money and giving them the product. So the exchange in business made an impression for me very early on. So I know that if you offer something of value, there's an energy that comes with that. And that energy can be currency. It can be a number of things. It could be where we exchange information and support each other. But I really like that reciprocal part of what business looked like as a child. So then once I got into, getting my PhD and working as a professor, that was very purposeful, very intentional, but I felt like there was something more I needed to do. And that something more was to have something of my own. So I revisited the whole entrepreneurial basis and foundation of my life. And it's been a blast. It's been wonderful.
Wow. You've answered so many questions and actually presented some questions I love to as the other guests. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This young lady is incredible, Miss Angelina Arena. Angela is the founder and chief executive officer of Kind Lab, a plant-based wellness company with a mission to empower older women by putting their self-care first so that they can cultivate the lives they deserve. Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Sure. So my company is primarily focused on natural wellness, but a key ingredient that we include is hemp, which is part of the cannabis family of plants. Hemp and marijuana are both in that family of plants. Fortunately, today, it's so much easier to have the conversation. But when I first started on my journey 5 or 6 years ago, I mean, people would just really giggle if they heard even the word hemp, which does not have the THC in it, which marijuana has, that makes you very high. But I'm one of those people that I don't like to take Advil. I don't like to take anything like that. And so natural wellness has always been extremely important for me. And as I started entering, my mid to late 40s, I was like, wow, there's just not a lot of solutions that work for, the 40 plus women that are also natural. And, started experiencing more, you go into your doctor and you're saying, I'm having problems with this or that. Well, it's just because you're getting old. It's like, well, that's not that. And I in my mid to late 40s, I still have a lot to give, and I'm still a relevant society that can add. So in addition to some of the personal problems I've with a
wow, being 45, I can definitely tell your body changes over time. Things are changing, things are up, things are down. I can definitely understand. I can definitely relate, Angela.
Yeah, so it was a big part of discovering, health and wellness for women changes so much over time, and coming up with solutions that were, potent and powerful, plant-based, helping women understand that it is the right thing to keep your own cup full, because when you don't have anything else. So prioritizing your own wellness, having the ability to natural wellness by educating people, and then focusing on those issues that are, wellness issues that are kind of affecting the quality of life, women 45 plus, and making solutions specifically for those women.
Very interesting. I'm going to come back to you, Angela. Tom, one of the questions that I've been asking, I was kind of interested, and one of the things I really like about what Dr. Michelle had to say was it seems when she started talking about this encounter with her grandmother and what she saw, she just lit up, everything she saw, she, loved being an entrepreneur. Do you consider yourself a serial entrepreneur, Tom?
I don't know that I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm more of a risk taker in business opportunities, mm-hmm. is kind of how I feel. And I just have to mention, it's so funny what Dr. Michelle was talking about in regard to her grandmother and ice, because when my grandfather came over from Italy to Brooklyn, New York, he started an ice company back in the early 1900s.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's
what a coincidence.
What's that?
No, you said what a coincidence.
Oh, it's so like that's a really crazy coincidence. It's amazing to me as I was listening to it. It's so funny. And I actually have, I don't know if you've ever seen the old ice tongs that you would pick up blocks of ice with. Yes. I still have some that were my grandfather's from, 60, 70 years ago, I guess it is now.
Wow.
And so it's just interesting. But you know, we're influenced, I think, a lot, obviously, by people who go before us. And mm-hmm. and so I grew up in a very blue collar family where my father was a police officer. Even my wife was a police officer and her parents were in civil service in New York City. But I always had this entrepreneurial spirit. And everybody said this related to my grandfather who started this ice company back in like 1925 or whenever it was. And I feel that it's not serial entrepreneur, but more of it's about taking risk. And it's all about choosing, you know, the uncertainty, because that's where the magic happens. And I'm here for a short time and I want to have magic and I want to help people create magic.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love it. Dr. Shadi, what about you? Were you a serial entrepreneur? Was your family into being entrepreneurs prior to this journey for you?
My father worked for an Allstate insurance company for a quarter century, ran it from an office. And so I always saw how one individual can just run the show, do all the things, wear many hats. And I thought, boy, that's impressive. He's obviously one of my role models. And as I went through my veterinary education and then my early career, kind of working along, fitting the mold, doing what I'm doing. And I just always thought, boy, you know, this is great, but at some point you end up hitting like a plateau. You plateau in your growth. And I'm talking about like intellectual growth and skill sets, you know, not necessarily financial. And then it just so happened that my career kind of converged to this one moment where my last opportunity prior to Vet Triage was being part owner of a large hospital. My first time ever really owning something. And wow. I thought, boy, you know what? I really kind of want to do my own thing, be my own boss and just run this show. I know this career inside and out. And I've been working on this idea of telemedicine for 3 or 4 years. It was not inspired by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like the right time to do it. And Vet Triage seems to be the culmination of all of my skill sets that I've acquired over my 40 years of life on this earth. And so it's just been a fantastic ride, obviously very difficult, but fantastic because as Tom is saying, you don't, although we're so used to hearing about businesses popping up and when actually you're doing it yourself, it rocks your world. You're putting your all into it. You got everything into it, money, time, emotion. I mean, it's literally blood, sweat, and tears going into this thing. And there's no way to do it. No way to half-ass it.
Can I add something?
Absolutely, Tom.
So, Dr. Shadi, I love what you're saying, and it's so true. So many people start a business, get into it, and then realize like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? I'm wearing 17 hats and making less money than I did when I was working this job that I hated. There's a great book. I don't know if you ever got a chance to read it, but for everybody who's on the show today, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. And right. He talks about systematizing businesses because what happens for most business owners is, you know, you're a great car mechanic and you're fixing cars. And one day you wake up and you're like, why am I working for this jerk? I could do my own cars, right? And you go and you start your own garage and you're working on cars. Some people follow you over and you have a little client base, but you're fixing cars. You're not running a business.
Right.
And that is why people plateau, is because they just are not doing the marketing. They're not hiring people. They're not working with a business coach to help get to the next level. And that's really what needs to be done in order to be successful, because we know how to do what we do, right? We're the technician, but we're not the business owner, and there's no way to really learn it unless you do it, but you need coaching.
Yes. Angela, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, they say so many new businesses are started by people who are 40 plus, and I think people do get to a point in their career where they're like, wow, I feel like I have so much more to give, and I start to see where that ceiling is, and that's not a ceiling that I want. And so people do start to, you know, that trigger goes in your head, like, I want to do more, and I want to be more in charge of my destiny, which is why I think at a certain point when people, you know, you have the skills and you start to, you know, that little piece of, you know, maybe in the back of your mind saying, oh, I don't know, this isn't such a great idea. You're like, well, start to see that my career is going to hit the ceiling. Why not just make the jump? But it is, you know, it is a lot of work. A lot of people say, like, you know, how do you do it? And it really has to be something you're passionate about, or, you know, putting in that amount of energy, that blood, sweat, and tears is, you know, it's a big sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And it is a nonstop roller coaster. You know, I was in talking with a bunch of entrepreneurs, and it's like we always say, you know, pardon my French, it's a nonstop ass kicking. And you really have to be very passionate in order to stay focused and to keep going. And because the most successful entrepreneurs are the ones that didn't give up.
Yes. Dr. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree. And I was listening to Angela thinking, you know, you speak of sacrifice, and that's an important ingredient in running a successful life and business. But one of the things that we don't have to do is sacrifice our soul and our families and the really important things in order to have a successful business. We are really delighted to teach men and women we work with the principle of the 10 life values. Mm-hmm. And those are, it's the first one is spiritual. And that's because it covers every other life value. Wherever you are in that space, it helps to ground you and creates that true north for you as you navigate life, right? So there is spiritual, health, family, appearance, dwelling. Those are the first five. And they're unique because they deal with who we are on the inside, the nature of our character, what we take to the grave. The other five are mobility, education, profession, leisure, and wealth. Oftentimes, business people, entrepreneurs, business owners, they are saturated in the 7, 8, 10 value. They start at the end instead of starting at the beginning. If you start working on yourself internally, and I'm speaking for myself first, but it's a principle, it's a success principle that's critical in life, so that when we are sacrificing or that when we are building, we are also maintaining a focus of the most important things in life. What's the point of having built this empire and you're the only one standing in the empire?
Right.
You have no friends, you have no family, you have no spiritual basis, you have nothing. You
right.
know, you know, your home is not even really like a home because it's another office or just right. a space.
I think you've seen the space. I think that's what you're doing. You're seeing it psychically because it's like everything is an office. I do that for a reason. It's like I have to work on the personal aspect
yes.
at times because I'm always business. So yes, mine's definitely look like an office. Angela, what do you do for self-care, so you don't get so focused on the business aspect?
So one thing I do is I try not to work out of the home, even though it's so hard as an entrepreneur because it's so easy to and look at your email and check things. But I do really try to physically separate my home and my work. Fortunately, I'm able to do that just because mentally it does give me that really clear break. So I have, even though obviously everyone's working from home right now, I had a retail store, which unfortunately with COVID, all my business moved online. So I closed that, but now I have a small office space. When I'm at the office, I'm at work. And that is where I really focus on things. And I have this rule that I've implemented recently is I don't check email after 8 p.m. Because as you know, you get some zinger in the email and then you're up all night like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And so now I really, really try when I'm home to just not check that side of things because I sucked in so easily, and it's so easy to do and it's so important to you and it's your baby, that I really try to make that clear break just so when I'm home, I really can focus on my family because it's really easy to start working 24/7. But ultimately, like what I preach is radical wellness, is taking care of yourself so you can be there for your family. And, you know, that's something I'm trying to, you know, practice, take my own advice and practice that on my own.
That's interesting that you said that, because one of the things I did a few months back was I completely removed my work emails from my cell phone. Mm-hmm. So they're on my laptop. So in my mind, I have to go to work to read the emails because they were just going off, and then like I just respond to them 3 a.m. You know, it's like I didn't have that moment to break. Tom, you're smiling. You're smiling, Tom. What are you thinking?
I think that's a brilliant idea to just take your work email off your cell phone.
I did.
I think I need to do that.
Everyone didn't like it, Tom. I'm telling you, and not everyone liked it, but I had to reset with the boundaries and also their expectations of the time I can respond. If you go to any other company, you allow at least 24 hours for them to get back to you. But because people were so used to that instant gratification, if they send me an email, Sharifa always gets right back to you. I said, you know what? I'm going to separate personal life and work life. And now I have so much more fun.
I mean, I have a friend who has on his email on the signature line saying, I only answer email twice a day, 4 a.m. and 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And so you know that if you sent them an email other times, you're not going to hear for 8 hours or possibly 16 hours. And I think that's a smart way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I love what Dr. Michelle said also about spirituality. I think it all starts with that. And there's an old saying that goes something to the effect of, you never find an atheist in a foxhole. And I feel like you never find an atheist in business either, especially in the first year.
Yes.
There's a lot of praying going on.
I like that. It is interesting that when you're speaking, I hear, you know, you talk about business. Well, I read this sign behind you, and the thing that stands out is faith, you know, and I've just been noticing that as you spoke. See, it's one of the most important things. Dr. Shadi, how are you getting along working from home? Are you separating business pleasure?
Yeah, I mean, having always been on the floor in the clinic setting, not until I launched my company did I know what it was like working from home. In fact, I always thought that people that work from home are kind of, it's a joke. You know, how do you stop yourself from just, you know, sleeping in and kind of doing some of your work, not everything? Who's watching you? Who knows? You know, it's right. Home. And then I quickly realized I don't want to go back to the clinics. I love working from home. It's fantastic. I can make my day how I want it. You know, if I'm feeling a little tired, a little run down in the afternoon, well, I can make up that work in the evening then, because there's no clocking in, clocking out. And then, of course, the nature of my business being a 24/7 business model, there is no turning off. So I'm always going to be working regardless of where I'm physically located, but I really like the idea of being home. And if you have a true work ethic, there's no need for a boss to watch you. If they know you're doing the job you're supposed to do, you're meeting deadlines or numbers or whatever it is the standard is, then yeah, working from home is fantastic. Not to mention better for the environment, less time wasted in cars, traffic, that whole thing. It's fantastic. Yeah. And what I also do, like the similar theme that everybody is talking about here, is kind of self-preservation, the ability to work your best, work as hard as you can without sacrificing yourself. That's a very important motif here. And sure, in the short term, it seems that, well, if I worked more, I could get more. But if you're playing the long game, it's worth it to delegate responsibility and figure out how to partition yourself so that you are in a healthier state of mind, a healthier physical well-being, so you can play the long game, because you are the most important part of your business. You're the owner. So I really like the common theme here. Despite we all have different experiences and different business models, it's a similar theme.
Yes. Angela, you were going to say something?
Well, I love what Dr. Shadi and Tom were saying in terms of like giving yourself the space, like Tom's example of the person who said, you know, I'm only doing this, you know, twice a day. Dr. Shadi saying, you know, when he works from home, he has this time to step back. Because when it is your own business, you are so emotionally involved in it that you do. Like if you read that, you know, zinger email at 8 p.m. where something didn't go where you thought it was going to, and, you know, you're getting some level of bad news, it does. It sits with you and you just can't give it up. So being able to like walk away and give yourself some space so you're not just kind of like firing back and giving yourself time to process is so helpful when you're so like emotionally involved you're so passionate about what you're doing. Being able to give yourself that space so you can really think about something and react less with emotion and more with, you know, kind of your business. And that ability is full when you're an entrepreneur.
I definitely agree, but I also believe that a lot of entrepreneurs have the mindset that if they're not working, that it's wrong, that they have to be going 24 hours all day, every day, or they're not a true entrepreneur. You know, I talk about one time early on with this global pandemic, I was sitting there all day. This was a Netflix day, watching. That's all I was doing, was watching Netflix. And so I'm having this conversation with myself and I'm like, dude, Sharifa, you cannot sit here all day and just watch Netflix. And then I had to answer myself. I'm like, it's Saturday. Like, why not? Like, what is so wrong? It's a Saturday. And I think as entrepreneurs, especially, we forget. And it seems simple and silly, but the days of the week, like days of the week used to have meaning. Like Saturday, you do all your errands, you spend time with family. Sunday was always family day. We sit down and there was no work, you know? So I wanted to kind of get back to that. That's why I tell people now my business hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. You have to listen to your body. If your body is telling you that you're getting run down, you're not performing at your peak level, then make yourself stop. You need a minute. And whether that minute is going to the gym, watching a movie, taking a nap, eating some ice cream, whatever it's going to be, you have to find a way to disconnect for a little bit. Listen to your body. You can't burn the candle at both ends constantly. You just can't do that. It's not sustainable. If you're a robot, sure, but we're human. And so you have to be able to listen to your body. People ignore those signs. And then, yes, we start self-critiquing ourselves, thinking, oh, I'm being lazy. I'm not doing enough. I should do more. You got to play it smart.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Angela. I totally agree. And it's a component of life we often overlook. Dr. Shadi, because we think the more we push ourselves, the more productive we would be. Not necessarily if our vessel, our bodies are not at the optimal level of performance. And so that's why health is the second life value in our model. So spiritual, and then there's health. And that's why the A-game product was developed, because it came out of this foundation of understanding. You've got to take care of your physical health, your mental health, and your emotional health. And actually, this A-game is formulated to address all of those. So a lot of men, it's exclusively for men, by the way, who use this, get mental clarity. They're performing better. Their energy and strength is improved. They're able to improve the quality of life, because if we don't have that, we're not going to perform well in education, in our business, in our wealth development, and any other, in our family procreation and nurturing and developing. So it's really important for us not to overlook that health component, especially at a time where we're in a global pandemic still.
Yes. Thank you. Angela, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, you know, people get productivity confused with being effective, and they're actually very different. There's certainly a way, there's being productive and there's being effective. And always, you know, even as Dr. Michelle is saying, there's always a level of, like, you have to focus on your life to be more effective. Because when you're more effective, it's just so much more, you're more efficient, you're on a much higher level. So grinding yourself into the ground is definitely not going to help. And I know that can be hard for women 45 plus too, when you start to get, you know, you're tired and the brain fog and everything that kicks in. And again, like, part of it's great being able to solve my own problems and understand that a lot of other women have them with our Kind Lab solutions, but it's so important to listen to your body, both, you know, physically and emotionally, spiritually, to make sure that, you know, you continue to operate at the top level, because then you really can make the time to do more things that you want when your effectiveness is so much higher.
Absolutely. Now, I thought it was something key that Dr. Shadi said, and I want to come back to it and actually ask you to expand on a little bit, because I've never heard this phrase. You said partition yourself, right, Dr. Shadi?
Yes.
So to me, that sounds like delegation, which for me is very difficult because I'm a control freak and everybody knows it's like, I want it done my way, you know, so it's very hard for me to let go. So how do you partition yourself, especially like you said, in your industry where people want 24 hours, 7 day a week assistance?
So one major way is delegation. It is. You have to have people on your team, or eventually place people on your team that you know you can give responsibility to. And yes, sure, you as an owner can probably do that perform that responsibility better than anybody can. But you've got to keep in mind the pros and cons of this. If I give this new employee these set of tasks that now are off my plate, I have to entrust they're going to perform those tasks to what I feel is required for the company, but then that allows me to do things that person can't do. Now, right. I can go ahead and do interviews. I can go ahead and start lecturing. I can do my marketing. I can start traveling to conferences. I can do those things that person can't replace me with, but they can do those tasks that I've entrusted them to do, even though I know how I'd want them done and I could probably do them faster or better or whatever. You have to be able to have a team behind you to do this stuff. Delegation is number one. I have yet to take a paycheck from my company. It's been a year and a half because any financial benefits I gain goes right back in to delegating to get more people. I need to hire more vets. I need to hire more staff. I need better tech, better software. And I just invest right back into it because I'm playing the long game. So delegation is a huge, huge part of this. And then, To the other points made here, your own health, whether spiritual, physical, mental, whatever it is, you have to invest in that. You have to invest in that. So it's a massive point, and it's painful in the beginning because you're seeing the numbers go up, but then you're realizing it's at the peril of yourself. Mm-hmm. So stop with the numbers, reinvest back in the company, get more people to do stuff for you, so you can then focus on things like rest or doing things that other people can't do because you have to be the one to do those things.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Tom, how do you do it?
You know, it's so funny. When growing up, as I said, my grandfather started the ice company, which became a small home heating oil company over the years, which my uncles took over, my mom's brothers. And my father was a New York City police officer. And so he had shift work. And he would be home all the time. He would, you know, have a couple of days on, a couple of days off. He was always around for me and my brothers. And he would say, you could have time or you can have money, but you can't have both. Wow. And I always thought that was gospel until I realized you can have both if you delegate, if you put in systems, if you... Mm-hmm. So my motto is, when I look at a situation in my business, can I delegate it? Can I automate it? Mm-hmm. And if not, can I eliminate it?
Mm-hmm. Say that again, Tom, we want to hear that again. We have a church up here today.
you gotta delegate first. Then if not, maybe you can automate it, which is even better. And then if not, maybe you should eliminate whatever that problem is. So it's about systemizing your business. Mm-hmm. And you also have to think about self-preservation, which I call pay time and no pay time. Mm-hmm. Meaning that, you know, during the day, 9 to 5, whatever hours it is for you, you know, Dr. Shadi should be talking to, you know, pet parents and not doing a newsletter and not doing, you know, that kind of work that could be done off hours. So you have to really systematize that part of your business as well, and always have that separation between when I could be making money and doing all the things I really need to do, I know, but it could be done off hours is a really important piece of the puzzle, in my opinion.
Do you believe when you say that the whole franchise model is the ideal way to do that? Because if you obtain a franchise, all the thought, all the systems, all the processes are already in place for you and you don't have to necessarily figure it out, especially not alone.
Yes, that's technically what a franchise is that the business has been systematized and could be rolled out across the country or even internationally. So that is what makes a great franchise outfit is mm-hmm. when, you know, they say that the most important thing in your whole entire life is time. Right. And you can't buy time, which actually is a little bit of a fallacy, because with a really properly run business, you could buy yourself time because you're not in it every day. You have employees, you're creating jobs, you're creating an economic engine in your business, in your community. And then you could work at a charity. You could go and, you know, hang out with Dr. Shadi in Vegas and gamble, you know, whatever you want to do, you could do.
Come on down.
And that in my opinion is success in business. When you have the freedom, the money and the time together to do what's important and whatever you're passionate about.
Absolutely. Angela, is that part of your driving passion, your driving force to have the freedom to do what you're passionate about?
Yeah, for sure. And I think kind of on that note, I think the hardest thing for a lot of people who either want to start or own their own business is, you know, they're used to doing everything themselves and they're used to having, you know, they want things to be their own way. And delegating is just another version of asking for help. Like, what are some areas where you need to ask for help? What are things that you're struggling with that, you know, maybe is a, you know, better task for someone else to tackle? I took part in Beyond SKU, which is a consumer packaged goods accelerator. It was unbelievable and really just like made me learn, like, I'm okay at marketing, but there are people who are so much better than me. And so why it makes much more sense for me to pay them to do such a better job. And in 2 or 3 months, you know, your revenue catches up to that. And then they're paying for themselves, if not more. So, you know, as Tom is saying, it's great to have that infrastructure behind you where you have that support. I can see where a franchise would be a phenomenal opportunity to train yourself if you want to become, you know, a founder or an entrepreneur yourself. But, you know, asking for help is super important. There's no reason you have to run this alone. Even if you are this, you know, you are a solopreneur, you're not alone. There are other people, there are resources like accelerators, like, you know, groups like this to have other people to bounce ideas off of is really invaluable, or you really do start to feel isolated, which is, you know, which then you struggle with as well.
Yes. Absolutely. Dr. Michelle, one of the things that you talk about is the organization that you work with. This is a team environment, so you're not forced to have to learn everything and come up with everything yourself.
Absolutely. Collaborations are where it's at today. It's if we don't find a way to stop competing as much and start collaborating more, we're not going to have the strong networks and even the level of success that's possible for us. I think it was really well stated by Tom when he spoke about, you know, delegation and automation and elimination, those kinds of things, because even though we're in business, we aren't to do everything by ourselves. It's just the foundation of a really solid entity is not going to thrive just with you doing everything. Now, you can be the visionary and the brain power behind what's happening and the energy and, you know, really continuing to motivate and inspire and, you know, maybe even bring in the real tangibles. But to think that you're one person show in every aspect of that business, it will hold you back. Absolutely. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't know every aspect of that business? No, you should. You should be able to put your hands on everything from the manufacturing component to the packaging to receiving orders and fulfilling those orders and doing customer service and finding out where the issues are and, you know, problem solving that. You should be competent in every aspect of your business. But so then when you do outsource, when you do have somebody touching that part of the business, you know that it's being done properly.
Yes, absolutely. Now, one of the things that I found interesting, Dr. Shadi, about your business that we haven't discussed today, but we discussed on a previous show, was what Dr. Michelle talked about in the whole collaboration, is that you work with a lot of the hospitals and a lot of the doctors and say, look, your office closes at 5 p.m. We can take those calls from you, correct, Dr. Shadi?
Yeah, so we started, as we were doing our research, and then of course through our launch and then our growth, we realized that Vet Triage functions in 4 different capacities. One is the direct to consumer, which is your pet owner that just finds you organically or and then utilizes your service. But the other 3 are rescue organization. So Tom, for example, we just recently partnered up with the Humane Society of Silicon Valley. And I worked very closely with North Shore when I was practicing in Long Island for almost 10 years. So I have a huge admiration for rescue organizations. We've created our own platform on the back end for rescues to be able to tap in, and it saves them thousands of dollars. And we all know part of animal rescue is budget, money. So if we can save them money, then they can do more things to save more animal lives. So we work with rescue organizations. And the last two categories are general practitioners to help out with after hours answering service when they're closed, because they're not 24 hours, to give their clients peace of mind, to avoid them self-diagnosing. And the fourth is emergency specialty hospitals. The emergency hospitals have the long wait times, and those are emergencies, but not every case that comes through is an actual emergency. A lot of those can be given Band-Aids to wait for their veterinarian to open in the morning or next week. And so we'll help with case allocation in those situations. So we work with, thank you for mentioning that, Sharifa. We work with hospitals across, right now, North America, to help them give their veterinarians quality of life, so they're not always on call or stressing about their clients, give clients peace of mind so they don't do self-diagnosis and potentially dangerous things to their pets, and then give the veterinary staff in the emergency hospitals professional quality of life by allowing them to see those cases that should be seen in person. And we'll take care of the ones that are fairly straightforward or easier, kind of patch them up and send them back to their vet so that they can focus on the critical ones. So it's been an amazing, amazing effort. And now more recently, we're working with military to help train the canine unit virtually, or to help in disaster situations where if you need a veterinarian on site, why bring the veterinarian into that disaster zone? Do it virtually. And so that's another frontier that we are literally on the forefront of as well. Again, the only company to do this kind of stuff. So
I love it. So
thank you for mentioning that.
Of course, I pay attention to my guests. I take notes so that I can remember things that the audience needs to know. I think that's very important.
Now, yeah, you're doing a great job, Sharifa.
I do try. I learn a lot. That's why I ask so many questions, so I can bring it up in the future when somebody's looking for somebody to help with their pet. It'd be like, Dr. Shadi got you. Just go to pettriage.com. There you go. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Angela.
Sure. I would say whatever you choose to do, make sure it's something that you're very passionate about and that is very authentic to you. Because the more authentic you can be, the more strongly you are able to convey, not only by your words, but by your life actions, of what is really important to you and what is really important to your brand, and really just be able to embody that brand. And I know a lot of other people have brought up a couple of instances, but the idea of giving back, I know Tom brought up some specific examples, and Dr. Michelle's talked a lot about spirituality and being passionate. Giving back could be, it's such a rewarding way to be able to say, you know, kind of spread the love per se. Giving back is an incredible component for your business. Like at Kind Lab, we always give back to local and national organizations that improve the life of women and girls, understanding that, you know, when everyone's life is improved, you know, all boats rise with the tide. And I think that's a really important aspect of being an entrepreneur, is if you're really in it for the money, it's going to show. If you're in it for, you know, also like kind of the larger component, I think that's going to show as well. And I think, you know, when you're working those really long nights, you know, got a really big problem, just getting the emails and under, you know, of people saying, gosh, you can't believe how your products changed my life. I couldn't move well, and now I really can. And knowing that, you know, the revenue you're bringing in, part of that's going to go to, you know, a local women's shelter, really just helps motivate you. So I think that's the last piece that I would add.
Yeah, I think that's very powerful. It's always important to give back. Thank you, Angela. Tom, what do you have for us?
So I, my kind of takeaway I would want people to take away is that anybody could really do what they want. You have to kind of believe in yourself. And, you know, prior to me getting into franchising, I was a New York City subway conductor. So if you ever rode in a New York City subway, I was the guy opening and closing doors and making announcements that were not comprehensible. But I decided to make a change. Mm-hmm. And it was scary, really, really scary. You know, I had a mortgage and small kids, but I took a chance. I took a risk and I was able to build a great smoothie franchise, sold it, did well. You know, so if I can do it, you can do it. Anybody can do it. You just got to have the fortitude and you got to ask for help, which is, I think, is another one of the themes that came out of the show today. So, you know, just, you know, you got to believe in yourself. You could do it. You're not put it, you know, God didn't put anything in front of you that you can't handle. You could do it.
I love that. Do you have a picture of when you used to be a conductor?
You know, I do not, believe it or not. I did it for 13 years. There must be something somewhere. I know I was quickly on a TV interview, but I'm going back into the 80s on this. So I don't know that there's a picture of me in uniform. There's pictures of me, like, you know, in the train yard and stuff like that, but it doesn't really tell the story.
We're gonna have to find one of those, because I can just see that on the cover of a book. You know what I mean? It's like from the train yard to wherever. I don't know, but I just saw it on the cover of a book. That is so beautiful. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. It's always a pleasure. Feel free to come back. Dr. Michelle, what do you have for us?
Well, I have enjoyed the panel and the conversation, and I think I'd like to leave the audience with this. There's a lot happening in life right now. Life is coming to us very fast and furious and from many different directions. And I think it's really important to remind people that there is hope, regardless of what your situation is. And when you live a value-based life, I've talked a lot about our 10 life values today, that system helps you to organize your life in such a way that even though there might be problems or issues in various aspects of your lives, you can start to compartmentalize so that the whole of your life is elevated. And that being able to solve the problems, being able to address the issues and have a better outcome brings hope. And so I think the takeaway, the theme is, you know, from that hope, you get the courage to continue. You really have that courage to continue in your pursuits, whether it's in your family or your business or whatever part of your life you feel really passionate about pursuing something. Too often we get distracted and discouraged and we give up. So to have that push to continue, you've got to have systems and order and structure to be able to do that. And our 10 life values really provides that for people. We talked today about not going alone, not doing it alone and asking for help. Well, if I can talk to female entrepreneurs for a moment, when we are running businesses, we're activating and tapping into our masculine energy a lot. But it doesn't mean we have to sacrifice our feminine energy. We've got to find a way to maintain that, and being vulnerable is part of that feminine energy to ask for help. And so that's some of the work we do with women as well that I continue to do with myself every day, because you can just really go deep in that masculine energy space and forget who you are. That soft power is incredibly powerful. So I just want to encourage the audience to keep hope in focus, have the courage to continue your passion, your pursuits, whatever it is that's important in life, and to live a value-based life.
Oh, wow. Powerful. Yes. Thank you. Dr. Shadi, what do you have for us?
I would add to what everyone is saying, where find what you're good at. Find what you're good at. Capitalize on that, infuse that into your passion. If you can find out what your skill set is and really maximize that, and then combine that with a passion that you truly have, you'll be an immovable force. You'll be unstoppable. And once you figure that out, you've got a plan, a projection, a goal in mind, you set your sights on that, you aim for that, then you go at it 100%. And then on the way there, as you find out that there are things you can delegate, you delegate them. And then you focus on things that only you can do, and have behind you a team, a supportive team that you can trust to do things for you. Because there's been no success story where it's one person doing the whole thing ever. ever. We have plenty of historical examples and current examples of successful companies. It's not just one person. So find out what you're good at, capitalize on that, infuse that into your passion, go at your plan, your projection, 100%, and then build up your team. Delegate, delegate, delegate. People ask me all the time with Vet Triage, you have a 24/7 service. Are you on call all the time? Yes, I am. How do you answer all these emails? I do them. I respond. How do you do the protocols, the podcasts, the lectures? I do all of it because of this, working smarter, not harder. It can be done. It has been done before, and it's gonna happen again in the future. So I thank you, everybody. This is fantastic. And hopefully we've changed some lives here with this.
I definitely believe that we have. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean we still don't need your support, and we still don't need you to go ahead and share the show. But I always ask that you don't just watch the show. We're here weekdays at 8 a.m. But that you don't just share the show, that you support our guests, that you visit their websites. The website link is in the Facebook post, that you follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.